Like to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 15. Book of Luke, chapter 15. I'd like to read the first two verses. Then drew near unto him, that is Jesus, all the publicans and sinners, for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. What we read here becomes the occasion and the central lesson of the parable that would follow. We see in verse 3, and he spake this parable unto them. So this, what we just read, is the occasion and the reason for the parable. In verse 1, we see that publicans and sinners have come unto Christ to hear him. In verse 2, we see the reaction of the Pharisees to these publicans and sinners gathering unto Christ. They observe these publicans and sinners as they come to Christ to hear what he has to say. And they observe that he receives them with friendliness. They observe that he did not stand aloof from them. And they observe that even on some occasions, he sat at a table to eat with them. So these Pharisees and scribes, looking upon the crowd that had gathered, in a spirit of self-righteousness, they say, This man receiveth sinners. Looking upon that crowd gathered around Jesus, they become disgusted. They're full of disgust, and with bigotry they say, This man receiveth sinners. Looking upon that crowd that had gathered and looking upon Christ, they with a tone of great disdain and animosity, both toward the crowd and Christ, say, This man receiveth sinners. They meant that as derogatory. They meant it as a charge against him. They meant it as a condemnation of his person. This man receiveth sinners. With that charge, their intent is to belittle Christ. Their intent is to degrade and demean him and to slight him and to scorn him. But in spite of their ill intent toward Christ, those words, This man receiveth sinners, actually summarize the purpose of the ministry of Jesus Christ. This statement, though they meant it to discredit him, it marks his being. It tells us who he is. Again, these Pharisees and scribes are filled with disgust and disdain and animosity. And in a tone of condemnation, their intent is to belittle, degrade, and demean Jesus Christ. And they cry out, This man receiveth sinners. And though they did not attend it as such, what a glorious and marvelous wonder, This man receiveth sinners. The charge they bring, This man receiveth sinners, and though they did not mean it as such, such has been a message of hope throughout history. This man receiveth sinners. The Pharisees could not understand Christ's mode of action because they were blinded by their own self-righteousness and bigotry. But another reason they could not understand is because the way of Christ here was so contrary to the norm of their society. It was so contrary to the norm of the religious society of that day. This man receiveth sinners. So there's a tone of shock in those words. We want to speak this morning on those four words, this man receiveth sinners. Four words. And in themselves, they are a complete sentence. This man receiveth sinners. Complete sentence. There is a subject, this man. There is an action performed by the subject, he receiveth. And there is an object of the action, sinners. So in this sentence, in this short statement, there are two entities, this man and sinners. Two entities. The one, this man. This man, the very word this, speaks of something very, very specific. So the one entity is very specific. The other entity, sinners, is more general. It doesn't say these sinners, it just says sinners. So you have these two. This man, who is Jesus, and sinners. They are polar opposites. But though they are polar opposites, the this man is said to do something on the behalf of sinners. Again, this man receiveth. That is, he accepts. He admits, he takes in, he welcomes sinners. Considering how radically different these two are, this man and sinners, this is an astounding statement. This man receiveth sinners. First, let us look at these sinners, and then we'll look at this man. The word sinners here, again, speaks of the object of the act that is mentioned, which is receiving. But it also speaks of their character, of these that Christ receives. Their character is that they are sinners. What does that mean? Well, it means that they sin. It means that they sin. Now, to fully understand that, we have to understand what sin is. Sinners sin. And sin is the most loathsome, the most vile, the most filthy, the most wicked, the most shameful, the most despicable, the most corrupt, the most disgraceful, the most ungodlike, and the most insane thing in the universe. These sinners have sinned against God. That's what sinners do. They have transgressed and they have violated the very laws of God. They have rebelled against God. they have risen up against God as an enemy. They reject God. They resist God. They strive and contend with God. Sinners. Sinners commit treason against God. They commit treason against His authority, against His goodness, against His love, His grace, His mercy, His long-suffering. These sinners are covered with the filthiness of sin. They are covered with the vileness and the abomination of sin. They are covered with the corruption of sin. These sinners, they are enslaved, they are entrapped, they are imprisoned by their sin. Sinners. These sinners, they live in sin. They walk in the condemnation and the contamination of sin. They participate in ungodly behaviors. They are alienated from God. As sinners, they are unacceptable to God. And as sinners, they are under the condemnation of God. Again, sinners, they sin. What that means is that they bring damage to their own lives. They bring destruction into their own lives. They bring loss into their own lives. They bring misery into their own lives. These sinners, their lives are marked by that which is disabling. Their lives are marked by that which is paralyzing. They live in the chaos of sin. They live in the confusion of sin. They live in the disgrace. They live in the defeat of sin. Sinners. Sin. And sin has left these sinners devastated. Sin has left these sinners marred and ruined and lost to the fellowship with God. As declared in Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is a declaration of God. And it is a declaration of God that stands today. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And regardless of your thoughts about the matter, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Regardless of your genealogy, regardless of your upbringing, regardless of your religion, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as we've said before, there is not a more dreadful, more tragic, more horrific diagnosis anywhere than all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the sinner may say, wait a minute, I want a second opinion. You can get all the opinions you want. But God still gives this diagnosis. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Someone will say, well, that's your interpretation. Well, read it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now give me your interpretation of that. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's not my interpretation. That's what it says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone that is born is identified in our text by the word sinners. We're sinners. Because we're all sinners. Because all have sinned. And that's what sinners do. They sin. Again, no greater crisis, no greater danger No greater problem. Nothing more serious. There's nothing more consequential. There's no greater need than for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there's hope for the sinner. And the reason there is hope, that brings us to this man. This man receiveth. This man accepts sinners. This man admits sinners into his presence. This man takes in sinners. Does not say, nor does it mean, that he receives all sinners to himself. It does not say, this man receiveth all sinners. It's not what it says. It says, this man receiveth sinners. And though he does not receive all sinners, may I say this, he receives sinners of all sorts. He receives the adulteresses, and the fornicators, the drunks, and the pushers, and the pimps, and the thieves, and the liars, and the whoremongers, and the murderers. And on and on you can go. This man receiveth sinners. Rejoice. The scribes and Pharisees murmured. This man receiveth sinners. Because they would never do such. It is this man, notice, this man. This man. It's singular. And it's very specific. This man. This man, Jesus, receiveth sinners. Very specific individual receives sinners. Again, their intent is to belittle Christ. It is a derogatory statement. But it is a true statement. It is a very accurate statement. This man receiveth sinners. As we'll see later on, it's a verifiable statement. Most of us here can verify. This man receiveth sinners. The this man is Jesus Christ. It's the one spoken of and proclaimed and pointed to and portrayed and promised all through the Old Testament. Amen. This man is the one who in God's time voluntarily left the glories and the majesty and the riches of heaven. When angelic hosts sang praise to his name, and he came to this sin-cursed earth in a body of human flesh. And he was hated, and he was mocked, and he was ridiculed, and he was blasphemed and rejected by sinners, the very ones he receives. This man voluntarily left the purity of heaven and came to the pollutions of this earth. This man, he's God himself in a body of human flesh. Unlike the sinner, he's perfect. He's undefiled. He's free from all evil. He's perfectly pure, perfectly sinless, perfectly righteous in and of himself. He's holy. He's all holy. He's altogether holy. He's always holy. He's God. And he receiveth sinners. He came from the adorations and the coronations and the praises of heaven. And he came fully qualified to save sinners. Because He is the Almighty, Able One, the Creator, the Omniscient One, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord of Glory, the Lamb of God. This man has a name. His name is Jesus. So named because He came to save His people who are sinners. His name is Jesus. It is a name that describes His being. It is a name that describes His character, His attributes, His power, and His purpose. His name is Jesus. The very name is a statement of God's promise to save sinners. It's a revelation of God's provision for sinners. This man is Jesus, and He is God's only remedy for sinners. There is no other remedy outside of Jesus Christ. His name is Jesus. And He's God's solution, the only solution. He's God's cure to the ruin of man. His very name speaks of the grace and love of God. This man and sinners. The only hope for sinners is this man. This man, Jesus, receiveth sinners. Outside of this man, outside of this specific individual, man will always come short of God's standard, of God's glory. Outside of this man, there is no heaven. There is no heaven outside of this man. Outside of this man is eternal ruin and utter destitution. His ministry is described in Isaiah 61 and verse 1. Where we read that he would bind, that is, He would restore and renew the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. This man of our text came into this world on a mission to save sinners, to rescue sinners, to spare sinners. To rescue them from what? Their sins. The consequences of their sins. To spare them from the death that sin brings. To spare them from the guilt and the condemnation that sin brings. He came to save sinners from the alienation that exists between sinners and God. To save them from the enmity that sin causes. He came to save sinners from the darkness of sin. He came to save sinners from the bondage and the oppression and the hopelessness and the misery and the danger of sin. This man, Jesus Christ, He came. And He came with the righteousness that the sinner needs. The perfect righteousness of God. The sinner may say, I feel that I'm good enough. There's only one righteousness that God will accept. And that's His own. And my friend, you're not good enough. You fall way, way short. But this man comes with the righteousness that the sinner needs. He comes with the cleansing and the forgiveness and the pardon and the reconciliation that every sinner needs. This man, singular, this man, he comes with the peace and the acceptance with God that the sinner needs. And now we see this man receiveth sinners. He has a power greater than the forces of sin. And this man receiveth sinners. In him is light greater than the darkness of sin. And on we go. In him is relief greater than the anguish of sin. In him is peace greater than the upheaval and the chaos of sin. In him is fulfillment greater than the emptiness of the sinner. And this man receiveth sinners. We're all sinners. And this is glorious news. This man receiveth sinners. All the Old Testament types declare that this man receiveth sinners. The Passover lamb, the offerings, the altars, the entire tabernacle system of worship, the cities of refuge, all proclaim the same message. This man receiveth sinners. His names, his titles declare, this man receiveth sinners. He's the shepherd. He's the physician. He's the redeemer. He's the deliverer. He's the prince of peace. He's the hiding place. He's the refiner. He's the purifier. All of these things testify and verify, this man receiveth sinners. His earthly ministry, portrayed in the Gospels, declare over and over, this man receiveth sinners. All through the Gospels, we see Jesus, this man, showing up in dire places. Places of impossibilities, places of great wretchedness. We see him entering into the needy and desperate lives of men, women, boys, and girls of various backgrounds and showing them pity and care and tenderness and kindness. All through the Gospels, it is declared, this man receiveth sinners. All through the Gospels, we see this man bringing about deliverance and transformation and satisfaction and peace and assurance and optimism and joy. All declaring, this man receiveth sinners. We see him in places of unspeakable need throughout the Gospels, as the one who, as the only one who can make a difference. Time and time and time again, his ministry declares, this man receiveth sinners. Bring forth the nobleman of John chapter 4, and he could point to Jesus and say, this man receiveth sinners. Take the lame man of John chapter 5, and he too would point to Jesus Christ and say, this man receiveth sinners, for he received me. You take the blind man of John chapter 9. You take the paralytic of Mark chapter 2. You take the man with the withered hand in Mark chapter 3. The demon-possessed man of Gadara in Mark chapter 5. Blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10. The woman who was bowed together in Luke chapter 13. Take the woman with the issue of blood. And they all could testify the same thing. This man receiveth sinners. All their stories are a little bit different, but they all have this in common. They are sinners, and Jesus Christ received them. I believe you can go to any place in the world, and if you look hard enough, you will eventually find someone who can testify, this man receiveth sinners. And then they could tell their story on how Jesus Christ received them. Men, women, boys, and girls of all languages, of all backgrounds and cultures, both the wealthy and the impoverished, the famous and the unknown, throughout history, can testify this man receiveth sinners. This man receiveth sinners. Paul in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10, he mentions fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. And then he states in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 6, and such were some of you. But, ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, how many can testify, I was such and such, but this man receiveth sinners. The saints in heaven testify for eternity. This man receiveth sinners. Revelation 5, 9 and 10, we have a picture of the saints in heaven. And they are singing, Thou art worthy, for Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue, people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. All of heaven is singing, this man. Jesus Christ is the central theme of heaven. He's the central focus of heaven. And voices are lifted up, this man, this man, this man receiveth sinners. They wouldn't be in heaven if it were not so. This man named Jesus, who was perfectly pure, He's holy. He's undefiled. He's faultless. He's sinless. He's completely innocent. And He came. And He came willingly to be God's sacrifice for God's people. And as such, He would be betrayed. He would be falsely accused and spit upon and struck. And he would be brought to Golgotha, the place where guilty criminals face the penalty of their crimes. The only difference is this man had committed no crime. He had done no wrong. But He's not there for Himself. He's there for me. He's there for the sinners that He would come, that He would save. He went to that place. And He endured unimaginable distress, anguish, and torment for me. His feet, His hands, His side would be pierced for me. And He would be forsaken by God. And He would die the death of the worst of criminals for me. And then he would be buried in a tomb. And he was buried for me as well. And glory to God, after 3 days and nights, he arose. Victorious over Satan, victorious over sin, death, and the grave. And he ascended back into heaven. He sits there today, victorious. And it's this man. It's this man that receiveth sinners. Oh, what a marvelous wonder. This man receiveth sinners. What a marvelous wonder that a holy God, a pure God, the sin-offended God, the very God who has the right and the power to crush the sinner and heap eternal damnation upon them. What a wonder that he would send his Son, named Jesus, to save, to rescue, and to spare sinners. And be sure of this today. Most of us here could stand up and testify it's so. This man receiveth sinners. And be sure of this today, he still does. He still does. He still receives sinners of all sorts, of all kinds. If you're here today and you've never experienced the saving power of Christ, you need to know this. You are a sinner. And you, what that means is you have broken the holy laws of God. And you are guilty. You're guilty before God. And you have nothing. You have nothing to offer God on your behalf. Your family has nothing to offer God on your behalf. Your only hope is this man, Jesus Christ. This man receiveth sinners such as yourselves. This man receiveth sinners. Again, it's a general statement. He didn't specify which sinners he receives. He receives sinners of all kinds, of all sorts. If you think for a moment, I've committed too many sins, you've underestimated the power of this man. You've underestimated the power and the love and the grace and the mercy of this one who receives sinners. If you can feel yourself a sinner, guilty and condemned before God, call upon Christ to save your soul right where you are. Well, why should I do that? Because this man receiveth sinners just like you. We ought to go from here thanking God. We ought to get up every day thanking God that this man receiveth sinners. The only way your loved ones are going to stand acceptable before God is this man. The only way your children are going to stand acceptable before God is this man. It all comes back to Jesus Christ. And that's why we want to serve Him. Because He received us. You know, we live in a day where people talk about tolerance and being acceptable of all, and that's just a big lie. First of all, that's not the nature of man. It's a lie. But this man, he receives sinners. He receives sinners of the worst kind. And when he receives you, you will feel that you are the worst of sinners. Thank God today that this man, remember his name. Don't go from here not knowing his name. His name is Jesus. And he receives sinners. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song. 100.